Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. Today, we are starting on a little mini-series of sorts, which, when I think about it, probably will actually just become the focus of the podcast in a bigger way. But we're going to talk all about what it means to be a highly sensitive person, how you would know that you are one, and what that means in terms of how we navigate life in sometimes a very insensitive world. Hi, and welcome to Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. This is a podcast about what it means to be, live, and move through a lens of self-kindness. We'll look at the ways self-kindness can underpin our practices in movement, mindfulness, and mindset to support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's get into the show. So I want to talk first a little bit about this kind of apparent shift in focus. I have done now 260 episodes of this podcast, and I think this is the first one where I've ever talked about high sensitivity. And that's a little remiss of me, I must say, because for very many years, so as many years as I've been running this podcast, as I've been working kind of in the online space as a movement coach and a counselor, I have been looking for the right words to describe who I'm best at supporting. And that has been unbelievably challenging. I have been through many iterations of kind of finding the right words to describe who I like to work with. And for a long time, I just couldn't articulate it. I toyed with, you know, it's the people pleasers, it's the perfectionists, it's, you know, all these variations on something like that. And then just very recently, I realized that the description I'd been looking for all along had been right under my nose. This description of being a person with the trait of high sensitivity. Now, I have known about my own high sensitivity for a really long time. I would say at least 12 years, if not longer. And I will admit that I think part of the reason that I really have never talked about it or kind of infused it into my work is because it took me a really long time to see it as anything other than a fault. I have been so sensitive my whole life, and that really wasn't seen as a strength. I was teased a lot for crying. I was teased a lot for kind of just not being able to deal with the normal things that other people seem to be able to deal with. I can remember covering my ears and covering my eyes when the news would come on as a kid, of being really scared of shows that, you know, everybody else in my family really wanted to watch, and being really kind of easily overly stimulated. So I've known about my own high sensitivity for a really long time, but as I said, maybe a little ashamed of it and really didn't see it as a strength. But the more I have aged and the further that I go into my career, the more that I realize my high sensitivity is actually a bit of a superpower. It is what makes me good at what I do. It is what makes me able to connect dots in the way that I do. And I've really designed my life in a lot of ways to suit my temperament as a highly sensitive person. And so I made the decision really recently that, you know what? It just makes sense to say it as it is, to say that these are the people that I am the best at supporting. As a counselor, as a movement coach, as a somatics teacher, I want to support other highly sensitive people to navigate what that's like, because it's not always easy, right? I definitely now see my sensitivity as a gift, but like I said, it hasn't always been that way. And there has been a lot of shame tied up in a lot of the outcomes of being highly sensitive. And we, at the heart of being highly sensitive, we need more downtime. We need more self-care. We need more self-compassion because our systems are more sensitive to the input that's all around us. And so you'll see and you'll hear if you keep listening and stay with me on this one that I am really diving deep into the world of the HSP, the highly sensitive person, of really, I guess, being very specific and saying, this is who I'm talking to, this is who I want to support, and the tools that I'm sharing are for you if you are a HSP. Now, if you're listening and you're like, well, I'm not one, or I don't know, we're going to dive a little bit more deeply into today's episode about what it looks like, feels like, to be a HSP. So by the end of this episode, you might have a sense of whether you are or not. But even if you're not, I know that if you've already been getting value from the podcast, that you will continue to do so, because the tools that I talk about, the struggles that I talk about, they're not unique to highly sensitive people, right? We're all still human underneath, you know, our sensitivity. So if you're able to listen around the edges of that, then of course you are more than welcome here. And there's a very good chance that somebody that you love is a HSP. And so it can help in navigating that as well. So what is a highly sensitive person? There is a particular researcher who has done the bulk of the work into sort of looking into this as a trait. That's a woman named Elaine Aron, and she's done a lot of work with her husband as well. They're both psychologists, research psychologists. And I believe it was like back in 1997 or something, close to that, late 90s, where Elaine like discovered this trait. And there's been a lot of research done into it. It's a very real kind of phenomenon. It's a very real trait that is present in about 20% of people. And it's also found in animals, which is really interesting. And I think my experience with this has very much been, as soon as somebody hears that term, highly sensitive person, usually there's a very quick recognition of, I think that could be me, right? Because we know, we've been told our whole lives that we're too sensitive. And so it's usually very easy to identify ourselves, even just from the name, right? And I have spoken to people who are like, oh, the name puts me off a little bit because I don't, it's got some certain connotation to it. And I absolutely agree. It's not my favorite term, but it is very descriptive. And the term really speaks to the fact that the sensitivity is at a very physiological level. We have more sensitive systems, right? So I want to go through some of the, I guess, hallmarks or some of the ways that you would know that you were highly sensitive or the people around you might be highly sensitive. And if it's you, you probably already have an inkling of that. Perhaps you already know a bit about this. We often will be more sensitive in certain areas than others. So for example, for me, I am sensitive to kind of like noise and light and things, but I'm probably more sensitive to emotion than I am to those things. For others, it might be the other way around. So there are kind of four main areas where we see and experience this sensitivity. The first thing is a depth of processing that is much deeper than non-highly sensitive people. Doesn't mean we're more intelligent. It just means that we tend to reflect really deeply. We tend to be the kinds of people who draw information from various places and bring them together and form new ideas. We might also be prone to, therefore, kind of like doing what we call overthinking, which isn't really overthinking, it's just deep thinking. But it can be distressing to us and it can be distressing to the people around us because it can seem sometimes like we're really indecisive. But what's happening is we're like playing out all the scenarios. We're the people who know like what plan A is, B and C, because we've seen and sensed the kind of outcomes of things, because we're kind of putting all of this information that we're deeply processing together and formulating, you know, opinions, ideas, assessments of what's going on. The next one is emotional intensity. So this goes both ways. We feel deeply our highs and our lows. And so when we're sad, we're like so sad. When we're angry, we're really angry. And it can happen like 0 to 100. When we're feeling love, we feel it really deeply, which means that, you know, seeing a beautiful flower or the full moon or, you know, the light hitting that pot in a particular way that just is beautiful, we feel that really viscerally. We feel that really deeply. And like I said, it's kind of both, right? So it's not like we just feel the positive things deeply, we feel the negative things deeply as well. And with that can come, I guess, a capacity to also be very affected by other people's emotions. Hence, sometimes while we might avoid watching the news, or we might find ourselves overwhelmed in places where other people's emotions are really high. With that comes, and with all of this comes, over arousability. And so I mentioned earlier, you know, the sensitivity is at the level of our systems. It is a nervous system, I guess, that is more prone to being ready to fight or flee. And so it can be really easy to become overstimulated, feel overwhelmed, feel over aroused, kind of like we have to just like go and put ourselves in the corner and just, you know, shut out a little bit of the world. And that doesn't mean that we always hide ourselves from the world. There are lots of HSPs who are actually extroverts or who are high sensation seekers. But there is a reality that because we are more easily over aroused and overstimulated, that we need more self-care. We need more opportunity to process and have downtime and regulate our systems. And then the final one, which I've already alluded to, is sensory sensitivity. That doesn't mean that we have necessarily stronger senses of smell or hearing or touch, but we are impacted by them perhaps more. So bright lights, loud sounds, you know, the sound of an ambulance going by, sudden things, we might be jumpier, we might kind of just react more acutely to these things. And, you know, I often think of this, I love going to the basketball. Now, the basketball is an incredibly loud place. It is sensory overload. There are lights, there is, you know, people, there is sound, there is all this stuff. I love that environment for a short period of time. But I find that in situations where there is a lot of people and there is an expectation, I guess, that we're going to mingle, you'll very often find me on the outer edges of that. I won't put myself in the middle of a sea of people. I'll find the edges. I'll find the space where there's an opportunity to leave. So we tend to have our strategies for sort of dealing with that when we do find ourselves in those situations, and we don't always hate them, right? So it's not that we're unable to be in busy places, but it might mean that we need more time later in order to process that and kind of recover. So they're the four areas: depth of processing, over-arousability, emotional intensity, and sensory sensitivity. Often when I meet someone else, you know, either in a professional or a non-professional kind of way, I feel like we know each other when we meet each other. There is something about the side effects, I guess, of being highly sensitive and the difficulty that can come with that, that is really truly understood by another highly sensitive person. When I realized for the first time that not everybody was physically impacted by somebody else's emotions, I was like, whoa, that's news to me. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that other people didn't feel things like this. I'm very aware of the fact that it doesn't take much to overwhelm me. A few too many tasks and I'm like, the world is on fire. Even though, you know, I'm always able to kind of like get through it and process it, it doesn't take much to overwhelm me. And so knowing that is really important. One of the things that I think is really interesting about being a highly sensitive person is that we can be really sensitive to pain and, you know, to touch as well. So I remember as a little kid, I often suffered, well, not even a little kid, but like a teenager. And in my early 20s, I suffered from like really chronic neck pain and headaches. And I still get that from time to time, but it's completely like different world now because of all my movement stuff. But I remember my dad would sometimes go to give me a massage on my shoulders and all he would have to do was like lay a finger on me and I would be like, oh, so sore. I'd be like, I haven't even started pushing yet. Like I haven't even, you know, given you a massage yet. And so it's quite common for highly sensitive people to have like that low pain threshold, to have more chronic aches and pains, to have more illness, to have more of these things. And so it can feel sometimes like a really not positive thing. It can feel sometimes like we're broken because we watch our non-sensitive, and it's not even that they're non-sensitive, but people without this trait who can just still be very sensitive souls and very beautiful people. I think that's one problematic thing with this terminology is it suggests other people aren't sensitive. They absolutely are. But it's a kind of a different quality and you can probably get a sense of that. But we tend to compare ourselves to what our non-highly sensitive people, friends and family are able to do and put up with and cope with that we just don't seem to be able to do as well. So this can show up in lots of different ways. It might be that we kind of find it hard to do a job that is highly stressful or highly kind of oriented around busyness and people and loudness. You know, we might want a quiet office and a quiet corner of quiet room. We definitely, like I said, often need more downtime, more self-care, more opportunity to regulate our systems. And one of the things that's really interesting that I'd noticed in myself, but has also been shown kind of in the in Elaine Aron's literature as well, is that highly sensitive people are often really worried about getting in trouble and doing the wrong thing. And I think that comes from this depth of processing, because we can see all the possible outcomes. And so it's like, well, I know that if I do something wrong, somebody else might be hurt, somebody else might think something of it. And here's the logical consequences of that. And so it's not unusual for there to be a kind of like an undercurrent of anxiety if not managed well. So that's kind of an overview and a little bit about why we're here, right, together, why we're talking about high sensitivity. I'm truly so excited that I've figured this out. It sounds so silly in some ways to be like, I finally figured it out. I've literally had the high sensitive, like the highly sensitive person and, you know, these books sitting on my shelf. I've read them. I've, you know, been kind of so aware of this for a really long time. I think of myself through that lens and I think of how I operate in the world through that lens. And yet I never connected the dots to say, oh, these are my clients as well. Because what I noticed when I kind of put these dots together was that probably 99% of my clients are also HSPs, without me even saying who I work with, right? And that doesn't seem accidental to me. I knew that the way that I kind of showed the world my work, that there was a specific kind of person being drawn to what I do. I just didn't know how to describe who they were. And now I think I have the language. So if you're listening and you're like, yeah, I think you've nailed it. This is me. I resonate with this. I relate to this. Let me know. You know I love to hear from you. So come on over and sort of find me in the world of Instagram. Or if you're on YouTube, you can comment below. But I'm at @ErikaWebb_selfkind over there. As a side note, actually, mentioning my handle there with the self-kindness, you know that self-kindness is my jam, right? This is the Self-Kind podcast. I talk about self-kindness and compassion all the time. And I think that this kind of focus on HSPs makes that even clearer as well, because we need so much self-kindness and compassion because we're sensitive people living in what can very often feel like an insensitive world. And so the compassion and the self-kindness makes so much sense in that context. And I hope that you really get that sense of it. I think sometimes as HSPs, we don't know why that matters so much to us. But when we hear it, we're like, I think I need that, right? Like, I want that. That feels like something that I desire and need and crave. And I think the reason why is because it is a nervous system support tool. To be kind to ourselves, to be compassionate towards ourselves, it gives us a sense of okayness and safety in a world that can sometimes feel overwhelming. So lots of self-care, lots of self-compassion, lots of self-kindness, and lots of opportunities to use somatic practices to support us in that. So with that in mind, I've created a brand new little resource for my fellow HSPs. 3 somatic practices to help with overwhelm and over arousal. And I'm going to pop the link to download that in the show notes or below if you're on YouTube. So you can click through, grab that printable resource, the download like PDF file. So you can look at it on your phone, you can look at it on your laptop, you can download it and print it however you want to look at it. But it's just 3 really simple somatic practices and an explanation of why they matter for the HSP. So next week, we're going to go more into this. I'm going to do a little series of sorts to introduce this topic and this new, not even new, but like slightly tweaked direction. And please let me know if you've got questions. If you're listening to this and you're like, whoa, this is opening like a beautiful, wonderful can of worms, send me a message. Let me know. I would love to answer your questions, talk a little bit about it, get curious together. So again, you can come and find me over on Instagram, leave a comment if you're on YouTube, or send me an email just by heading to my website. All right, until next time, keep being kind to yourselves, embrace that HSP trait that is such a wonderful gift, and I'll talk to you again really soon. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self-Kind. If you loved it, why not share it? And while you're there, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show.
I'd love you to come hang out with me more too. You'll find me over on Instagram at ericaweb_selfkind. And you can sign up for my e-newsletter by heading to my website, ericaweb.com.au. While you're there, you can also read up more about the Self-Kind Hub and other ways of working with me. Until next time, keep being kind to yourself. Bye.